Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. The microphone is on. I am in the car, as you can hear. And I am approaching Old Foamy.
It's Saturday night, and I'm going for a drive. I'm in Johnson County, about an hour outside of Dallas. I had this crazy idea to revisit one of the creepiest places I remember as a kid. A low water bridge with a spooky reputation and a kooky name. I'm alone because, well, frankly, nobody would go with me. But I have my microphone and I'm recording for my co-producer and editor on this podcast, Jeff.
So it's a beautiful night. I'm on a main road and I'm approaching what is Old Foamy Road. And there's sort of rolling prairie on either side. A large grazing herd of cattle. And here I am. So I'm turning on to Old Foamy Road.
So how did Old Foamy get its oddball name? Well, at the loneliest section of this narrow country road I'm on, there's a bridge. It's really just a low water creek crossing. And that creek, apparently, used to froth and foam. According to an archivist quoted in the local paper, the Cleburne Times Review, historians think the froth might have been caused by downstream wastewater, which, whatever its origin, it certainly enhanced this spot's reputation. I suppose every community has a place like this. The empty lot at the end of the street. The abandoned house on the outskirts of town. Or a creepy bridge like the one I'm getting close to now. And it is creepy. The moon is rising, and the night creatures are starting to make their sounds. Do you hear that? That's gunfire in the distance. I hope there's like a gun range, a practice range. It's Texas, you never know. For decades, Old Foamy has been a magnet for bad things. And it goes beyond the long list of car crashes, including fatalities, that have plagued this cramped, tree-shrouded road, which has long been a favorite for teenagers and partiers. Legends of the Goat Man have been a thing here since at least the 60s.
Some who have seen it say it looks like a half man, half goat.
And it was hairy and I couldn't see his face. It was in the dark.
This mythical monster also shows up in spooky lore and other places around the country.
It was up there on those cliffs and it'd stay up there running back and forth.
The skepticals say it's a man.
In the 1980s, at the height of the country's so-called satanic panic, stories of devil worshippers abounded here, with sightings of hooded figures clutching torches in the woods.
And in church halls and living rooms across the Metroplex, a movement has begun to reach out to our young people before the satanic groups reach them. Marty Griffin, Channel 5 News Tonight.
And as crazy as that sounds, the Cleburne Times Review did a story in 1994 about a local couple who planned to build a satanic temple in this area. Their efforts failed, though, and according to a 2014 follow-up piece, the couple became born-again Christians instead. But the husband warned the reporter that the town was full of the occult. "I won't tell you how far it goes," he said, "but it goes far. We'd pay if we told you." The most sinister incident connected to Old Foamy involves something far less supernatural, but no less disturbing. A double murder.
This is the home where David Wayne Ingram lived with his wife and son. Police figured that the crimes were committed here, but the bodies of Ingram's wife and son were not found here. They were found miles away.
In 1980, a Cleburne man was convicted of strangling his wife and their 5-month-old son in a fit of rage. Afterward, he drove out into the country to dispose of their bodies. He dropped his wife's remains in one location and then, according to his own testimony, drove down Old Foamy Road and stopped on the low concrete bridge. He took his son's body, which was wrapped in a plastic bag, and threw it into the water. It eventually washed back up.
Ingram is being tried first for the death of his young son, a son who was named after him. The body was found in a plastic bag on a county road just outside of Cleburne. Emotion is running high in Johnson County. Threats have been made against Ingram.
We're going to try to keep it pretty tight here because of the nature of the program, and we feel that we take the necessary precautions.
Those necessary precautions include a large contingent of sheriff deputies in and out of the courtroom. It will also include a search by metal detector of anyone entering the courtroom. All purses, satchels, briefcases, and coats will be left outside. Even the courtroom windows have been taped up to keep the proceedings reasonably private and safe from camera-toting newsmen. Starting tomorrow, the jury will learn that the defense has more or less conceded that Ingram killed his wife and son. Ingram's court-appointed attorneys plan on basing his defense on temporary insanity, and if he should be convicted, they've already introduced a motion for probation. It is not expected to be a long trial once it gets underway. Ed Martell, Channel 5 Action News.
In the end, according to reports, it only took the jury 55 minutes to find Ingram guilty of first-degree murder. But the heinousness of his actions lingered much longer. Today, the details of the crime are largely forgotten to younger generations, but Old Foamy's fearful reputation remains intact. I'm thinking about all of this as my SUV creeps down the steep hill and onto the dark and empty bridge. It's spooky. The road just like dips down rather steeply, and it goes into this large sort of grove of trees that are all overgrown and sort of encapsulating the bridge. It's almost like it's entombed by this, you know, canopy of trees. Ugh. So now I'm pulling over the bridge. There are no railings. It is just a slab of cement. This spot has always been popular for teenagers looking for a scare. In a weird way, it makes sense. Young people are facing the anxieties of life and can't quite wrap their minds around the idea of death. It's thrilling to dance on the edge. The ritual that is developed in this spot is to park your car on the bridge, turn off your engine, and wait. In the silence, your imagination fills in the blank space. Maybe it's the goat man, or a vengeful cult, or maybe it's the more mundane depravity of ordinary humans. But all of it is maybe out there, in the shadows. And then you must honk your horn 3 times, as if to summon or awaken whatever is in the dark. And inevitably somebody would hit the car or slam the roof of the car with their fist, and everybody would scream and freak out and yell, and you'd start the engine back up and then head out. And as you drive away from the bridge, there is relief. And in a way, a kind of release. The adrenaline subsides and you sort of laugh. Your passengers have had a good scare and you feel better somehow. Or at least safe, for now. What strikes me being back here is how much places like Old Foamy, and every town, every city has places like this, how much of the power of it is the meaning we bring to it and the things we project
onto the experience. You know, you're in this lonely, desolate place, and out in the woods could be anything. Anything you're afraid of. So we sort of bring our own demons and our own creatures and our own fears and anxieties to these places. And I think that's what makes them so frightening and so scary. And in some weird way, maybe we need that. Maybe we need to be afraid, or we need a place that we can warn people about, that we can tell stories about, that we can take, you know, our kids to and tell them about. And maybe that's kind of the part of the fun and the appeal sometimes of the legend and passing on the legend. You know, I learned about this place from older kids and older brother, you know, and I've certainly had fun telling other kids and telling folks about it, and now I'm having fun telling you about it on my podcast. So I guess in some ways that's how the legends continue, and that's how places like this keep their meaning. I'm Christopher Wynn, and this is Strange. Hey, Strange fans. I want to thank you so much for listening to this special boutique, I guess you'd call it, season of stories. I've had so much fun making the show with Jason and Jeff. We took our time for a variety of reasons, and I'm so proud of the result. What's next? Well, I really want to hear from you. What's the strangest thing that's ever happened to you? Maybe it's spooky, or just surprising, or even funny. I'd love to hear it. You can email me, leave me a voice memo, or DM me on social. You'll find links to do all of those things on my website at strangepod.com. And if you don't have your own story but just enjoy listening, that's okay. You can help support this work by becoming a member of my Patreon. Or if you can't join right now, then please leave me a rating or review wherever you get your podcast to help more folks find the show. We're working on a new season, but I plan to drop some special episodes in the interim. So be sure and hit the follow button wherever you're listening now, so you don't miss a thing. Thanks again, and we'll talk soon.